Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
I have been looking forward to meeting with you guys all day. Got to meet with the adults this morning. They're awesome, but maybe not equally awesome. So one reason that I work with teens and kids is that I like you guys a lot better. So thank you for, I feel honored to like walk a little bit through mental health with you today. So we're gonna stay in our seats for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, just kind of lay some groundwork together on how we're going to discuss mental health, your emotional and social well-being. And then we're gonna get up and we're gonna move and we're gonna do some different stuff. So. How many of you have a physical activity that you practice for, or an artistic skill that you practice for? Practice is just part of our life and part of our being. So yell out for me some things that you practice for. What do you practice for?
Horseback riding.
Okay, what else? Yeah, in the back.
Woodworking.
Love it.
Blacksmithing.
Two different things. That's awesome. Claire, what about you?
Speech and debate.
That's awesome.
Biking, gymnastics, metalworking, other various things.
Love it. Love it. In the front.
Boxing.
Love it. Here in the back.
Soccer.
Yep.
Weightlifting.
All these things, do you guys just do them once a month?
No, man.
Like how often are you guys doing boxing and weightlifting?
Daily.
Try to do
this. She's super disciplined.
Every Sunday.
I'm terrible.
No, I love it. But you have a schedule and you kind of try and stick to it. And you know that once a month's not going to cut it if you want to get better at something, some goal that you have, right? I don't know why, but we don't think of our mental health that way. We don't think of our emotions and our thoughts as something we need to practice with. But it's the same thing. So there's actually exercises you can do so that you're emotionally and spiritually stronger. Okay, I really don't know why we don't view mental health the same way that we view physical health. So I do love to work out. I love running. And when I can use that lens and that analogy to think about my mental health, it makes so much more sense to me. If I'm like, okay, I have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going for runs. Why wouldn't I also have scheduled like that same time to like de-stress, right? Because I have so much going on in my life. So it's just something you have to work in. So this is a talk given in General Conference in 2021. I just want us to read this last two lines, I guess. Challenges often indicate a need for additional tools and support, and they're not a character defect. If you have a phase of your life where you're feeling super down and sad, maybe even depressed, if you have a phase of your life that you're overly worrying about things, maybe even clinically anxious, it is not a character defect. Those things literally happen to every single human being on the earth, okay? So you don't have to feel weird or like you can't talk about it or that it doesn't happen to the person next to you, because clinically speaking, it does happen to them at some point in their life. So they also need tools and support. We have so many answers and beautiful truths in the gospel, and I really believe that mental health support is part of those tools. It's not outside of those tools. Like, I think therapy is something that Jesus Christ helps to make more powerful in people's lives. I don't think that he would be saying, like, you can't seek therapy. Does that make sense? Like, some people feel like it's not something that we can do. So, okay, this is where your cards come in handy. Stress is that thing that's like the general term for how we're doing with our mental health. Stress is when we have demands on our time or in our life that we don't feel like we have the capacity to meet. So with your 5 index cards, who needs a pen? Does anyone need a pen tonight? All right, with your 5 index cards, you're going to write one word on each card of 5 stressors in your life. I know.
Just five.
Pick 5. Put them in a big word. Now you can be super general about this, like math, right? Or you could get more specific. You could be super general, family, or you could get more specific. You're not sharing all of these with people, but one of them you will. So you want to make sure at least one you're comfortable publicly sharing. Does that make sense? But the other ones, who cares? Write down whatever. But a stress. You do not feel like you have the capacity to meet this demand, and it stresses you out. You get freaked out, you lose a little sleep over it, you're worrying about it. Yeah. No, it does not have to be just one word. It could be a whole phrase describing your your stress. We're going to take about a minute to fill this out, so you don't have to rush through it, but it's a little time limited. All right, well, these two guys fill out their cards. What we're going to do, so have all five in your hand. The one that you're okay sharing, have it face up so it's readable. And you're going to go and find two other partners in this room that have a similar type of stress. It doesn't have to be the exact same, but a similar type of stress. Okay, go. All right, all eyes on the math group. I'm going to have them demonstrate.
So what is the school group?
With the school group.
School.
Okay, school stress over here. With their card that says school or math, they're going to throw it down on the ground in front of them. All right, everybody take your card that had the stress in common and throw it down in front of you, kind of a circular pattern like these guys did. So you're going to need to stand up. With your other cards, you're going to place them down also in front of you. They can be face down because those are technically your personal ones. You don't have to share them. But all your cards should be on the ground by you. All your stress. All right, guys, lay your stress at your feet. Surround yourself in it. Looking down at your cards, they're symbolizing your stress. Okay? I don't know if you'll be able to see. My next slide has a big word on it. This question and this image of you surrounded in the midst of your stress, okay, this is my question. And then we're actually going to sit on the floor and make a big group over here. This is the question, okay, for our group circle over here. How can you be in the midst of your stress, like look at all your little stressors around you, big stressors, and still be calm in your heart? How can you feel peace even while there's a lot of stuff going on? Save your answer. Come circle up, big circle, school group, spread out. Big circle, all of us here. I'll be the edge, so scoot all the way back. Okay, my friend in the green hat, what's your idea? You raised your hand, so how can you feel peace? I'm gonna scoot over here by you. How can you feel peace when you're in the midst of stressors? Because that's just life. Like, there's always gonna be something going on. So how do we find stillness and peace even with just life going on? What's your thought? And no thought is a bad thought in the circle. So throw it up. Ooh, I've heard of it.
That gives you peace as Kyle wants you for and to guide you. And so you can pray out the bottom and ask for the Holy Ghost. So kind of
I love it. And there truly is power in that. Like, I think Joseph Smith said that we gain a testimony through experience, prayer, and pondering. And really, if you look at the leaders of our church, the apostles and prophet, they're old for a reason, you guys, because they've got that experience and they've tested it. Do you know what I mean? They've tested it, and they know that through prayer and through the power of the Holy Ghost, they can receive comfort. Claire, what's your?
Just to add to his thoughts, I found that giving my particular kind of stress to the Lord, like telling him, I don't want this anymore, you take it, you deal with it, and the results that come of this are yours and not mine, helps a lot, like I find.
I love
that. My kind of stress is I stress out before competitions, and I found that like giving him all that makes it way easier.
Yeah, so the performance, anxiety piece, and being specific in your asking of his help. And that's what the atonement is for, actually. You know, like laying at his feet, right? And then Christ taking up. Thank you so much. Horseback riding. Yeah, tell me.
I always carry a pen in my bag right now, and I like to draw. Sometimes I have paper, and when I don't, I just draw on my arms.
That's a very specific coping tool that you use, and I love that.
But take a walk.
To draw, to take a walk.
And if my cat's in the room, I put my cat in that room best of all, but he's not always in the room.
That's right. So you have to have some backups. I love it. Yeah.
Kind of like what Michael said, honestly, it's taking time to listen to the Spirit deliver. Like, set a time that I would usually go in and spend out in my shop or like looking through social media or reading a book, I'll just take and I'll sit in my room for 15 minutes and I'll just basically listen to what the Spirit has to say and how I can relieve my stress or someone else's stress that day, or even just kind of lighten up something.
Like an actual set aside time to ponder and to listen. What's your name?
Matthew.
Okay, I'm going to come back to that, Matthew. So I'll have you say more about that, if that's okay. That's awesome. What else? Yeah.
Knowing that there's having friends and family around you that supports you.
Yeah.
Like one of my, we had the one with like more public speaking than preparing for. Public speaking really great, but like preparing for it, it's such a pain.
Yeah.
So having people around me helping with the speech or talk or whatever, it's nice because then you know they can have you help you and be there for you. Even just having them there, knowing that you are stressed about it is awesome.
Yeah. Just even knowing that they're there for backup. I love that. Loving friends and family. Yeah.
I like to go into our garage where we have our recycling bin, and I just get cardboard and I just rip it up into little shreds.
That is awesome.
And I sit there, and it helps me just relax and think of what's going on in my life.
I love that. That is so specific to you. That is awesome. I love that. And just like our friend over here was saying, he has several coping skills. Like if you don't have access to your garage and you can't rip the cardboard, having that backup too, right? Where you're like, what else can I do in the moment? Do you have a comment too?
Yeah, being in the world but not of the world.
Say more about that. What were you gonna say?
I raised my hands moved on a little bit since. Anyway, being in the world but not of the world, like knowing and being in the presence of all these bad things, so, and like all this stress and all these problems, but not like letting them sink in and just like knowing that, or knowing who's at the wheel and just being able to like let go of all of your
and it doesn't. I really love your explanation of that. And it doesn't mean that you're naive or that you don't know what's happening in the world. Okay, that's a different thing, right? You're not ignorant to what's happening, but there's a different level of contentment and peace that comes when we can tap into the power that Jesus Christ gives us through His atonement, right? And we can actually have peace in the midst of all the stress. Did I miss anybody over here? Because I wasn't looking. Okay.
I like what you said about taking hold of the wheel, just knowing who's the boss. For me, when I weightlift, I really try to focus on a certain muscle group, and then as I've been taught, you're supposed to breathe. So I have to push and give it all I got, and that's my focus. So I have to, when I have that stress or I have that anxiety, I just need to know when to calm down, when to take control, and how to take control. So I like
having control is something that yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a comment?
I hit things, and that helps. Not people, but things, objects. If I don't have a bag, I usually just use like pillows or trees or something. But the concept of releasing, whether it's anger or whether it's stress, but
yeah,
doing it actively, I think, like, because obviously deep breathing is fine. Or like ripping paper like that, or cardboard like that too. But the force of hitting something is just more like.
Yeah, I love that you said that, and he was getting to that with the weightlifting too, where it's like, those are physical emotions. They actually create an energy in us, that anxious feeling, that worry, and that anger. So to release it in an appropriate way is so good. Did you have a comment? Because you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I do that too, but I dance. I like dancing.
Awesome. So to find what works for you, that's a release of that energy.
I was just thinking about when they were talking about being in control. For me, journaling is a big thing, and just being able to get rid of those emotions. Because sometimes I do want to talk to people about what I'm going through, but at the same time, it can be hard to trust people with those things. And so journaling and just having control over something and just being able to just dump everything that I'm feeling, no matter the judgment, like you won't get any judgment from your paper. And just having the control to just rip it up or just throw it in the fire or anything, like just being able to just ignore all of those emotions is really powerful.
I love that.
Yeah,
same. You can understand that too. Yeah.
I think a great way is gratitude. I might feel like a lot of time when we're stressed, we kind of like forget to like be grateful to like what we do have. So like whenever I'm in a stressful situation, just like taking that moment to be like, you know, like what can I be grateful for? Really helps me to like, you know, be able to like find peace.
I love that. That is so awesome. Yeah. play with your swords. But that's another physical release, right? Where you're getting that energy out that might be trapped under the worry. Yeah.
I think it really helps to take your stress and make paper cranes with it.
Make paper
cranes. Oh, dang, I used to do that.
Yeah.
We just do 5% stress depending on what time of year it is, because I'm a 3-sport athlete, so I'll wrestle, then I'll do track, and I did do football, I just quit that, so now I'm just doing shooting sports. But so during the wrestling season, it's a little on the stressful side, because once you become a good wrestler, people expect more of you. Yeah. And so you have to wrestle harder and harder to keep that same
dance to
respect from the coaches or from people that are watching you, your parents. And that also makes it worse, because as you're trying to get better, you're actually getting better. And then you're climbing up the ladder, and people are seeing, like, more and more people in the crowd are mm-hmm. thinking of, oh, this guy's a good wrestler, let's see how he
the expectation, right? Yeah, it's, like, so much.
Climbing. So something that I'll do is my dad, well, my mom, she's definitely my hero by far during wrestling season, because she doesn't care if I win or lose. She just cares as long as I have fun, that's all that matters. Down the other hand, he does like it when I win.
Yeah.
But, My older brother, he also wrestles, but for me to relieve some of my stress is actually to wrestle but when no one's around. Because normally when you wrestle, there's hundreds and hundreds of people watching you from all different schools all over the state or something, or sometimes other states. But me and my brother, we'll just go in our basement when no one's around, or like in the dark even, because that also helps, because then you have no other distractions and just wrestle. Because I do physical things to let out my stress.
Well, then that's just for you, too. Like, it's not for the crowd or for your dad. It's just for you. Okay, how many ideas do you think we just came up with now? A million. Less than a million, but a lot. I want to challenge you guys, if you don't already have a list of ways that you deal with your stress, to go home, when you get home from this conference, at least 10. Write them down in a journal or on a sticky note or on the back of a scratch paper that you have, you know, next to your bed. But write them down, at least 10. Steal some from your friends that just mentioned them here, okay? So that if your go-to option's not available, you have the next, and you have the next, and you have the next. Let's move back to our chairs so you guys can see this. But everybody take at least one index card and still have a pen, because I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Okay. What I'm going to do is put this little box in the middle over here. On the one index card that you grabbed and the pen that you have, if you guys have any random or specific question about something that has to do with emotional, social, thought, feeling kind of health, you can write it down. It can be for you, for a friend, for a family member, anonymously. Write it down, pass it down the row, or get up if you're brave enough. Stick it in this box. And if we have time at the end, I'd love to do some just question and answer, okay? So just while I'm talking, if you have a thought, you have a question, write it on the index card, pass it down, and stick it in. All right. So there are some specific mental health exercises that I did want to go over with you guys. You just mentioned, I'm going to say with about 20-ish around the circle. So those are also what I would call mental health exercises. They're ways that we improve our emotional muscle. These are three that we're going to go through now. Breathing is on there. But here's the thing. You can't wait until you're stressed out and in the stressed out moment then be like, okay, now I'm going to take a breath. This is actually like a breathing practice. Just like you might practice dance, or you might practice soccer, or you might practice woodworking. You need to practice actually relaxing. Okay, so we're going to do it together. Are you ready? Okay. So there's 5 S's that I always teach clients. It just makes it easy to remember, and it helps you actually get a deep breath. Because as kind of corny as it might sound to just take a deep breath, physiologically in your body, it forces you to slow down, and it works. Because why? Why does it work to slow our breathing down? You can cheat and read up there if you want. But
I'm not going to do that. It fills your brain with oxygen, which is an essential part of...
Yeah, it brings in the good air, right? And when you're... breathing slowly, yeah, what happens?
Something to think about.
Distraction. Yes, you can actually focus on the in and out part of the breath. And then physiologically, if you're breathing slowly, what's it doing to your heart rate? It's literally forcing your heart to beat faster. And when your heart beats faster and the blood's pumping through your body slower, what does that do to other parts of your body?
It makes you more relaxed.
It relaxes you. Yeah, it slows your body down. Even your digestive system will slow down, which that gets revved up when we get stressed, okay? So if we're breathing, we're slowing our whole body down, even your gut health improves. So it's simple, but it's actually pretty powerful. Okay, sit up straight, first us. You can't breathe in a deep breath if you're slouched over, you know, how we all like to sit. So roll your shoulders back and sit up straight. Okay, this is a tough one. I promise we won't do it for very long, but you have to sit still. Because if you're wiggling around, you're using your energy and your breath to power your muscles that are moving. And you have to be silent, because if you're talking like I am, you can't get a deep breath in, right? And you have to breathe slowly, otherwise you're hyperventilating and not slow breathing, right? So you don't want to breathe fast when you do this. In terms of that, let me just teach you this little trick. Just go with me back to elementary school for a minute, because this is how I teach the elementary school kids. Okay, deep breathing. You breathe in through your nose. Name, Claire, what's your favorite thing to smell? Do you have a favorite smell?
Peppermint.
What is that?
Peppermint.
Peppermint. Okay, Claire's just peppermint. Think of your favorite smell in your head, one of them. And as you breathe in through your nose, you literally are like drinking through a straw that smell. Do you know what I mean? You're like really, you want to get it all in your lungs. Okay. And then when you exhale, you're in a bubble blowing contest. And when we are blowing bubbles, do we like that? No, because what happens to the bubble? It pops. Okay. So when you exhale, this is actually scientifically proven that the exhalation taps into a specific nerve within our brain. It's the vagus nerve. They've done all these neuroscientific studies. And when we can exhale really long and deep, we tap into this special nerve that calms us down. So it's simple, but it's really cool. It really works. So you're breathing in like you're drinking in your favorite smell through your nose, and then you're breathing long and slow like you're blowing the biggest bubble in the contest, okay? All right. So sit up straight, sit still, silent, slow breathing like we just talked about. Now you guys can shut your eyes if you're comfortable, or since you're sitting down, just look at the kneecap in front of you. All right, if you don't want to shut your eyes. Okay, we're going to do 5 deep breaths together, all right? So breathe in, drinking in your favorite smell all the way through your nose, and then breathe out at your own pace, but slow it down where you're exhaling long and deep. And when you're ready, you inhale again, really deeply through your nose, and then exhale as long and slow and deeply as you can till you're super empty in your lungs. And you're going to do 3 more inhales and 3 more exhales at your own pace, focusing on the breath coming in your nose, focusing on the breath leaving your body through your mouth. You guys are doing really great. Breathing in and breathing out. You guys did great. And when you're done with those 5 breaths, you can just breathe normally. You can open your eyes back up, shake your shoulders out a little bit. That was probably just a minute. So one thing that science has shown us with our brains and our bodies is that when we practice this, it not only helps us take a deep breath in the moment better, but it actually shores up our muscles. So you don't weightlift because you want to weightlift for the rest of your life. I mean, maybe you do, but the weightlifting is not the goal, right? The goal is to be stronger, to get stronger, right? You're building muscle, right? Healthy, and you're building muscle. It's the same with mental health exercises. The goal is not to be able to do deep breath exercises. The goal is that in the moment when you're super stressed out and you need that stillness, you've built up the muscle, so then you can just be like, I've got this. Like, I've practiced for this moment. Okay, so that's a little deep breathing. Oh, that was for the parents. Okay, in therapy, most of the time, if you meet with somebody, they're going to do a version of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy. This is a little psychology 101, like you're in college class. You guys ready for it? Okay, so CBT, cognitive behavior, all it means is, what's cognition? Do you guys know what that term means?
Brain function,
thoughts. Yep, pointing to your brain. So that's a thought, behavior, cognitive behavior. Those are our actions. And then therapy is the techniques.
Your
microphone is. Oh, thank you. So we know that our thoughts and our feelings and our actions are all connected. And this quote is right out of the Strength of Youth manual. Did you guys know there's therapy stuff in the Strength of Youth manual? Did you know that? Yeah. So good. Okay. Your thoughts are important. How you talk about yourself and how you think about those things that impact, they impact how you feel and how resilient you can be. Your thoughts also play a great role in how you interact with others and perceive the world around you. I think this is so empowering that we're taught in the scriptures, Mosiah teaches us, we need to watch our thoughts and our words and our deeds, right? This is something that God has, he's given you the power to watch these things and to train yourself to think healthy thoughts. So when we work on unhealthy thought patterns, it's not because you shouldn't feel bad about having an unhealthy thought pattern. Everybody has them. I'm going to give you an example. So let's say something bad happens in a sport that you were playing and you go home that night and your mom's like, how'd it go? And you're just like, I always do that in the game, right? So by putting that word always, you're making it this very permanent thing in your life, right? And if you said that every time you had a game, can you see what that would lead to in terms of your feelings? What would you feel like if every time you had a game, you went home and you're just like, that always happens to me. I always mess up like that. What would you feel over time if you told yourself that 50 times, 100 times? Like, I'm always the one that does that. I'm always the one that messed up.
You convince yourself you can't fix it.
You feel helpless,
well, then
right?
That becomes your thing.
Yeah.
Like, that becomes the thing that you do. You're the one that fails at this rather than the one that something else, whatever.
Yeah. So failure, right? You feel like a failure. You feel helpless. You can't. You don't have control over it.
That you'll be able to fix it.
Yes, and you feel like you can't fix it because it just always happens.
You can't fix it because you don't want to, you know, if you feel like you're always helpless, you won't try.
Yeah, yeah, and then you lose that desire to even try.
Like, what I learned from failure, I just don't think it has failure. Like, I was trying to work on some crafting and with my dad, and I botched this project pretty bad, and my dad says, it's okay. It's not the end of the story yet. And until this day, I still haven't finished it then. But I still know that it's not just a failure. It's just not the end of the story yet.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I love that. I love that quote. Yeah.
Well, and one of the classes in they were talking about how failure can make them learn.
Yeah.
And instead of just all the bad, instead of thinking, oh, I did mess up, and now, you know, you can think about, oh, okay, you know, you read it wrong, and now what can I do better?
Yeah, well, and that's retraining your brain.
Right.
Yeah, completely. That's dealing with that unhealthy thought pattern and making it more healthy.
I mean, like, he kind of said it, but for people who do have those problems, like what my mom always tells me, it's like, as long as you give it your best, nothing else matters. So that's a very calm thing for me because I know that's not perfect.
Yeah.
And I know I mess up a lot in things that I do. And I also don't really count it as a failure because as long as I gave it my best, then that's all that matters. So
yeah, and that's the way that you've reframed it in your brain. I gave it my best. Yeah.
I think with failure, I mean, it's important that we have that so we can learn and grow because, so I said, I compete in speech and debate on a regular basis. And from the beginning of my year, I never lost. I won every single competition I ever entered. And by the time I finally didn't get first place, like, it came crashing down around me. And I was like, I don't know what to do with these emotions. So I think that failure is, it's hard. It's ugly. I hate it. I still hate failing. But you're not going to get it anymore if you win all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a learning experience, isn't it? Okay. We could spend a lot of time on this one. That's a life process. Okay. This is an acronym that I came up with. It's SHE with two E's. It stands for sleep, hygiene, eating, and exercise. These are the four core essential things that we pretty much have control over in our life, and they influence our emotional and social well-being so much. So Everyone stand up. We're going to do a little sleep survey in the room, okay? So everyone on your feet.
I feel like this shouldn't count, though, because none of us have gotten good sleep.
Not for the conference. This is like, thank you, that's good. So let's just go, you got to think in general, like on average, okay? So on average, stay standing if you get more than 5 hours of sleep a night.
Say it again.
More than five. Stay standing if you get more than 5 hours sleep a night. Okay. On average. Not last night. Not last night. Okay. On average, stay standing if you get more than six. All right. Seven. Same question. Yeah, that's pretty up. All right. Eight. Nine? Do you get more than nine?
More than nine, I get about nine.
Get about nine? 10? Do we have a 10-hour sleeper? Do you get more than 10 hours? Whoa, wow. Okay.
I'm so jealous.
Oh,
this whole room wants to beat you. This entire room wants to beat you right now.
So true. Okay, so obviously, like, different bodies need different amounts of sleep to function, and we kind of learn that as we grow up, but the American Medical Association recommends for teenagers that you receive 8 hours or more per night. Sounds almost impossible, doesn't it, when you have so much going on? Why do you think sleep affects us so much? Like, what's the importance of getting a good night's sleep?
Well, your body does all its functions late at night.
Yeah.
And it gives your brain rest so that it's ready to work in the morning, so that you're not this crazy, fuzzy kid that's trying to do stuff and you're like, I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Yeah, you feel wired and crazy. Right. Yeah. And then you crash.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. It's restorative to our actual brains when we sleep. Yeah, in the back.
Especially like in your earlier stages of life, especially sleeping earlier in the night, and those longer periods is also very important, because really deep stages is when your brain releases a lot of like growth hormones and like emotional hormones that you need to keep that like
brain. You need to keep growing and developing and everything, right? Yep. Yeah. That's what you're gonna say.
That's basically what I was gonna say. Is like, I've got friends that are like, I'm always so tired, but like they go to bed at like midnight, 3 a.m, and then they sleep, and I'm like, it's still sleep, but you're not getting the right type of it because your body's not built to stay up like that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Also, this week I got to conference at 3:45 on Wednesday morning after a full day. And then slept for an hour and then did all day yesterday. So I went about 40 hours with about 1 hour of sleep. And by the end of the day yesterday, I was like out of it. I was grumpy. I was like ready to cry at almost anything.
Yeah.
And like not having any of it. And then I slept last night and I'm fine today. So like, at least for me, I turn into an ogre at night. Like,
your emotional muscles just go away, right? They're just weak. You have no tolerance for things. Yeah, which is so normal. Like, all of us feel that way. So sleep is so important. Okay, how many of you? I'm not gonna actually. What's it called? Have you vote? But just think in your minds. Do I get a shower every day? Don't raise your hand. Guys, taking care, I'm just going to put this plug out there. I'm Young Women's President in my ward right now, and my young women are like begging me, please talk to the young men about taking showers every day. So like, it helps you with your friends and socially, but it actually restores you emotionally. So it can be a 2-minute shower and brushing your teeth and cleaning your face and brushing your hair, okay? So that's our little brief hygiene discussion. Healthy eating. How many of you think you get 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day?
5 servings?
So that's like an apple counts as a serving. A half a cup of like berries counts as a serving. So you got a few. Yeah, it's not something that we're really great at in our country, but that's the recommended amount. And especially when you're growing and you want your body developing in the right ways, fruits and veggies and water. And water. Yeah.
Yes. Also, I found kind of the hard way,
not eating as much as you should can also negatively affect.
Yes, so she's saying not eating as much as you should negatively affects everything, right? Including your sleep.
Amen.
So, yes, so that, and with wrestling, I mean, I'm sure you're, yes. So at some activities that we're involved in, sometimes if we get caught in a really bad, relationship with food, then we deal with, not eating enough or eating too much. So eating really affects everything, but especially our social emotional health. Okay, regular exercise. We talked about people having different sports that they're involved in. If you don't have a regular sport you're involved in or it's off season, I just want to put the plug in. Get outside. Get fresh air. Set a timer for yourself. Set a goal for yourself. On that list of 10 things you guys are going to write when you get home about coping with stress, have one of them be outside air time or moving my body time. Let me see you nodding. Yes, you're going to include that in. That's so important. Okay, again from the For Strength of Youth manual. Claire, can you read that really loud?
Regular exercise can greatly benefit your emotional health. Physical activity stimulates your brain and releases chemicals that help with your emotions and abilities to see situations clearly. Taking time to be active can leave you feeling happier, more relaxed, and less anxious.
Awesome. Okay. I want to get to a slide. I'm going to flip through. So we're going to do two more slides, and then if there's any questions, we'll get to those. All of these are on the website, so we're not going to get to some of the ones that I went through with parents this morning, but this is a big question that I get asked a lot from friends or just random people that know I'm a therapist. It's like, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling sad, but how do I know when I actually need help? Like, how do I know when it's more than just, a couple days of feeling down, right? These are the four things that you look for, either in a friend, a parent, a sibling, or yourself. When then you say, this is something outside the normal sadness. Does that make sense? This is something outside the normal amount of worry. I need some more support. How long has it lasted? Duration. Is it just a week? I mean, feeling down for a week stinks. Like, that would be bad, right? But if it's just a week, it's not technically depression, okay? It's not clinically depression. If it lasts 2 weeks or longer, then clinically it is. So how long has it lasted? Have I been stressed while I've been in, my sophomore year of high school and I'm dealing with math, Or is it something that extends 6 months or longer where the level of my stress is affecting multiple areas of my life? So that's where it comes to this ability to function. So are your symptoms, and I'm just labeling these general symptoms, sadness and worry, but are they affecting multiple areas of your life or your friend's life? Are they affecting your ability to function in your schoolwork, in your interactions with your family, in reaching out to friends, in any physical activity you have? So if they're lasting a long time and they're affecting a lot of areas of your life and they're really severe and you feel them in your body, then it's time to ask for some more support, okay? And that is okay. And we, as Latter-day Saints, believe in getting support for our mental health, just to make sure that was clear on the other end. Okay, one more slide, and then I'll see if there's questions. This is the other thing that just in our LDS culture and then also just in America in general, there's sometimes this myth that when you talk about suicide, you increase the risk of suicide. And I'm here to tell you that is not true. That it is helpful and not harmful to talk about suicide. And I want you guys to be a generation that is able to talk with parents, friends, youth leaders, and about yourself or somebody else where you're just like, hey, I heard this, I'm feeling this, and that you can know that we can handle it. If you come to me and you talk to me about that, we can handle it.
Talking about suicide, I feel it's okay to good to talk about, just not in a jokingly manner. It is not.
Amen. I love that. Subject. It's a serious subject. It's a serious subject. We're not joking. We're not making fun. We're not making light of it. So also, there's a number that's universal, countrywide, just 911. It's 988. So if you haven't memorized this number already, it's pretty simple. It's a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year hotline. And there will be a professional on the other end of the line if there is a question you had about your own emotional or physical safety or a friend or a family member, you can call them. And it's anonymous, and they can direct you. Also, there's really reputable sources online. So the Center for Disease Control, if you just type in that you want, it's called the Suicide Toolkit. So then there's resources and supports that are readily available through the CDC. There's tons of stuff out there online, so I just wanted to point you guys towards an actual, like, reputable source. Any other thoughts about that? Okay. I'm going to leave that up there so you memorize that number. Okay, I'm going to pick these two questions. If you have another question you want to shout out in our last minute, that's good. Ooh, okay, I'm going to get some audience participation. Let's see. All right. I'm going to change this one a little so it's more generalized. But so my brother and my sister were diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I don't know how to help them. So we have family members that have been diagnosed with a serious mental illness. Depression, anxiety falls in that category. Clinical, like we were talking about, it lasts a long time. It really affects you. And yes, bipolar disorder. Yeah, and there's other people in this room that do too. That's just like how statistically, there 18% of Americans struggle with anxiety on any given day, like clinical anxiety. So, yeah.
My brother and my
of stressing about death and about that. I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. So just to go with this question, when we have people that we love that have been diagnosed with something, I think you can receive a lot of power in just information and like learning about the disorder itself and then learning from websites, books, a therapist or clinician that your family members are working with, how you can support them and how you can cope at home as well. So that's my short answer to that one. I'm going to read this one out because I think we can relate. What if I feel like I can't ever do things good enough, and whenever I do things somewhat okay, to me, it just makes others think I should be capable of so much more, but I feel like I can't, and then it's this endless spiral of expectations. I can never achieve what people think I can do. That, like, real pressure of having performed and succeeded and then having the expectations out there. What do you guys think? What would you say to a friend? Yes, what would you say to that friend?
So another thing for my mom, it doesn't matter what other people think. Like, as long as you're making the one above happy, that's all that matters. Like, even if you're doing the right thing, and like people that you love are expecting certain things from you, because I still lose their expectations from me, and obviously I can't meet some of those. But the only thing that matters is if you're making the one above happy, and you're following what he asked you to do. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters.
I need to meet your mom. You've shared so many of her wise comments. Really, really awesome. Okay, I'll have to find her. So I love that, and I just want to leave you guys with a thought that Cole introduced me with, that I really truly believe that through Jesus Christ, we can find peace in the midst of all of our stressors that are all around us. That by tapping into the power that comes through his atonement, that we can be calm in the middle of a storm. And I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.